Thank you. I will drink until next morning.
Get yourself together, kid. Hour number two of the Blitz.
It's live.
On Fox Sports Knoxville, AM 1340, FM 105.7. Can you take it away from there?
Yeah,
I don't think you can. No. Broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Call us up on the G3 phone lines, 865-546-8200. You can even download the app in your app store, Google Play, iTunes App Store. Also, see Rick's laughing face on Periscope at the moment because he can't pull it together.
Look, I don't know why this is so funny, but I have
a new favorite Twitter account.
I have a new favorite Twitter account. So we
are you going to be able to get
pull it together, man?
I can't.
What is wrong, man?
We posted the poll.
Ain't nobody got time for this.
Stop.
So we posted the poll about which SEC coach in his first year do you think would have the most success?
That's a clown question, bro.
And,
that's Kiffin.
And
Rick has just lost it. Somebody has someone a very had, cool.
Well, I don't know how cool it is.
To Rick, it's very cool.
Someone replied to the tweet with. And
no,
apparently
it's this account.
Okay, well, we'll elaborate. You did, then you tell it.
So this account is just named Anakin Skywalker.
And that's where we are, people.
No.
That's where we are.
The Twitter handle is Jedi Master Sith.
That's where we are.
The location is Tatooine.
I don't think he's going to be able to do it, Brandon. I've never. He's had some spells like this where he's been laughing before coming back on, but this one might take the cake.
The bio is just keeping it real while bringing balance to the Force. And even these tweets are Star Wars themed.
Pull it together.
It's not even like an Anakin Volwalker. like you totally get those. You get like the accounts, the celebrity with the Tennessee baked in or something like that. Anakin Skywalker. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? All right, here we go.
There we go.
Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on Fairmont Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting.
We've already done it.
I know, you already did all this, but I'm trying to get in the. I'm trying to get back in the swing of things. Guys, hour number one is in the books. Talked a lot of SEC football there, including that poll question that was just mentioned. Which debuting SEC coach will have the most success? We bounced that question around the table all morning, and we posted that question to the Twitter account, which you can go vote in right now. Voting is pretty much staying the same. Lane Kiffin has a little bit over 50%. Mike Leach has a little bit less than 40%. And then Sam Pittman and Eli Drinkwitz are just kind of getting the scraps. Did you guys go with a vote here?
Yes.
Yeah, I voted for Mike Leach.
I voted for Kiffin.
I voted for Leach. Although I'm not super confident in my answer. I think that both guys have very similar routes in where they're trying to take their programs. But so in case you haven't seen that, go ahead and head over to the Twitter account to go vote on that poll. Otherwise, guys, we got a big game tonight. NBA playoffs roll on. And for the first time since Saturday, we will see the Celtics and the Heat square off in what will be Game 4 of that series. 8:30 p.m. tonight. That is a late tip. Let's see. Miami took the first two games of the series. Then Boston was able to come back and win a hard-fought game three. Then you have this extended time off. We kind of bounced around the table earlier this week. Who does that benefit more? And I think we came to a fairly consensus answer that while it does not hurt the Heat, we certainly feel like it helps the Celtics be able to rebound and kind of get everything together.
The thing is, when you're the better team, it helps you to get the rest. It helps the Celtics. The Heat are, I mean, they're house money right now. Sure. They've showed us that they're a very good team and that they have some killers on the team, Jimmy Butler specifically, Bam Adebayo. But they're playing with house money. Nobody expect them to go to the finals. Nobody expect them to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. You would have said Celtics, Raptors, Celtics. Maybe even thrown the Sixers in there if they'd had a healthy squad, but nobody really expected the Heat to be where they are with a chance to actually go to the NBA Finals. So it's all house money. All the expectations are on the Celtics. They have the better team. They have the better team overall from top to bottom. I think that they have the slightly better coach as well. So for them to get some rest, helping out Gordon Hayward, who was injured, who came back, and we saw what he did, I think it helps them out for sure. The better team needs the rest.
It's a big game for you, buddy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, having Hayward back and him being able to rest for a few more days, I think is key. I mean, he played 30 minutes in the game on Saturday, which is a good sign, but you don't know what the recovery is going to be after if he'd had to play on Monday.
Sure.
He gets an extra day of rest. So I think that's good in and of itself. Scott Foster's going to be the ref tonight.
Oh, you hate those games.
Well,
you got beef with Scott Walker.
Well,
what's his name?
Scott Foster.
That's it.
Well, there's a couple things to look at here.
Okay, let's examine the evidence.
Scott Foster and Tony Brothers, and I'm not sure who the third ref will be. Celtics almost never win when Tony Brothers is on the call.
Mm. Oh, so you feel like you have the double whammy tonight?
But on the other hand,
okay.
Usually when the NBA wants to extend a series,
bring in the tough guys.
They send in Scott Foster.
So maybe you're working with that.
I don't know.
Guys, I found this, this article from ESPN, but essentially what they did was they just posed some questions that I want to kind of lay out to you guys and see what your answers are on them. So all these questions are about the Eastern Conference Finals, obviously. But I guess they had a panel, which, look, I have no idea. The panel's got to be over 100 people based on some of the voting that they've done so far. But they basically just kind of asked a few questions to their panel, and I want to see what you guys think. So the first thing they did was, who has been the best player so far in the Eastern Conference Finals? They were told to give their top three, and then I have how the voting basically ended up for all of these. So, Brandon, if I had to ask you right now, who would be your top three players so far in order in this series?
My opinion, or I'm guessing
what
the panel?
No, your opinion.
My opinion?
I value your opinion much more than I do this panel. I'll tell you that right now.
I would say Jason Tatum.
Okay.
Bam Adebayo. And Jaylen Brown.
Chance?
This the best players in the series or most important?
No, best players so far in the series.
All right.
So top three in order.
In order. Jason Tatum.
He's brought it, leaving Jimmy Butler.
He's brought it,
it does.
Every night. I would say my number two would be Jimmy Butler, and then I'll go Jaylen Brown. I think Bam is in the top five, but he's behind those other guys.
Sure.
He doesn't bring as much scoring. He can score. I know he scores a lot, but I'm saying like it's what you would depend on a Tatum or a Jaylen Brown and also a Jimmy Butler.
Sure. So I think that I would go different from you guys as well, and I would go Tatum 1, Jimmy 2, and probably Bam 3. And if the Celtics were leading or if it was tied, that spot would probably go to Jason Tatum. But here's how the panel kind of figured it out. So Obviously, each one of them, just like we did, got to rank their top three. Here's how the results ended up. Jason Tatum had 100 points, which I'm guessing they had 100 people. But anyways, Jason Tatum had 100. Jimmy Butler had 91. Bam had 46. And then Jaylen Brown had 17. So that kind of gives you an idea that pretty much everybody has thought that Jason Tatum is the best player in this series.
He's averaged close to 30 points the series, right?
Yeah.
If he's not right at 30 points a game.
Jimmy's right behind him, but then you have a little bit of a fall off, and kind of like we did, certainly some differing opinions between the Bam Adebayo, Jaylen Brown, Goran Dragic, Marcus Smart range. How about this one? Which coach do you trust more in the series? The answer may surprise you.
I probably trust Spoelstra more because he's been there and he has the championship, so I say Spoelstra.
Okay.
I like Brad Stevens more personally, but I think Spoelstra, if we're being honest, you got to trust him more.
Hey, the question posed is, which coach do you trust most in this series?
Yeah, it has to be Spoels.
I think I'd go with Spoelstra as well, just for the same reason Chance said. He's been there. He's got the championship. So.
I agree. Their panel says 83% Spoelstra as well. Two more. Which team will win game four? This just a straight up pick 'em. So maybe we'll save that one. And then let's see. How about this one? Which team would have a better chance to beat the Lakers or the Nuggets in the NBA Finals?
The team that has the best chance to beat them?
Yeah.
And honestly, it might be the Heat because Bam can probably match up with AD better, and then Jimmy Butler can guard LeBron. So the Heat? That's me guessing. Not my pick, but yeah, the Heat.
Are the...
Matchup-wise.
Are the Celtics a maybe a little bit smaller team than average?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, for sure.
That's what I thought.
Thies, is that his name?
Tice.
I always say Thies.
It's such a hard name. I always forget it, too.
Yeah, Tice. I mean, he might be, what, 6'10", maybe?
But even, like, his backup is Grant Williams.
Yeah, who's 6'8".
We really never thought that Grant Williams is the biggest dude.
Well, you've got Cantor. I mean, they've been going with Grant against the Heat.
Well, Cantor
really...
Which team really,
is Olynyk on? I can never remember.
He's on the Heat.
Okay.
He used to be on the Celtics back in the day.
Him and Crowder both used to be on the Celtics. And I don't like either one of them.
Cantor sucks in the pick and roll.
Yeah, I know.
That's why they can't have him out there. He's a liability on
defense. Well, I mean, he's kind of a liability on defense, too. I mean, really, you put him in there to get offensive rebounds and
score
and put the ball back in. That's what he's good at.
Yeah.
Anything else, he doesn't bring much to the table, but he can give you some.
So their panelists have it at which team would have the better chance to beat the Lakers or the Nuggets in the NBA Finals. The panel says Celtics, 53%, Heat, 47%. And then this one's just interesting, I thought. Which Eastern Conference team has the brightest future? Panelists were asked to rank their top three. Do you want to do a ranking, or do you just kind of want to know what they put? Because there's a lot here.
Which Eastern Conference team?
And this is just Eastern encompassing any of them.
Has the brightest future?
Yes.
And well, are they like...
I'll give you this.
3 years, 5 years?
Doesn't say, but the Celtics and the Heat are the top two receiving votes.
Yeah, I would say the Celtics got the brightest future in the East.
They have the Celtics at... Go ahead.
I was going to say they're like one more player to help out Brown and Tatum. I mean, Kemba's supposed to be that guy. He's up and down.
But I think they're another big guy away.
Yeah, I think if you add somebody, you just add a rim protector, and I think you're there.
They would be a beast.
What if you had brought in like a Dwight Howard, like L.A. was able to do? You're not asking him to do too much. You're probably not even asking him to be the starter.
He's looked rejuvenated.
He does. Here's what they had said. So the points just kind of give you a little bit of an indication about how far away these the panelists think these guys are. But so Celtics, 112 points. Heat, 62. So big gap there between 1 and 2 as it is. The Nets, 48. Bucks, 39. The Raptors, 7. The Sixers, 1. And the Hawks, 1. One vote each.
I would say the Bucks, I would put them lower. Unless somehow they're able to hold on to Giannis, which I don't think they'll be able to do.
Yeah. I think the Nets are fair. to be at the three.
That was the team that I was. I would almost put them ahead of the Heat. But I don't know how long term that is. But I mean, I think the Nets are going to be forced to be reckoned with next year.
Man, there's some teams who are going to be just stupid good here in the next 2 to 3 to 5 years. I mean, think where the Nuggets are going to go. Think where the Heat, the Celtics, the Mavericks. There's going to be a lot of good teams. In other NBA news, well, of course we got to hit this. Chance, your Chicago Bulls making big news yesterday.
Yeah, big hire. Hiring William Donovan.
William Donovan.
Yeah, Billy Donovan. And we were talking about this before the show. Do I think Billy Donovan is going to come in and they're going to win a title? No. But he's going to have them playing competitive basketball again eventually. And I say maybe give him, I don't even know if it's really going to take 2 years. The East is pretty bad when you get down to those 6, 7, 8 teams. And the Bulls have enough talent as in Orlando. I mean, they had more talent than the Nets had this year with who they were able to take to the bubble. So, and I think they can compete with teams like Indiana. The East is just it's weak, so.
It is.
I don't think it'll be very tough for him to get in one of those 7 for 8 spots in his first year. I think it's going to be a new face, fresh face that brings a little bit of, I wouldn't say swag, but just more life. They went from Tom Thibodeau to, I can't think of his name now.
Fred Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg from Iowa State at the time, who Freddy. Now coaches at Nebraska. And he might have been able to do something if they would have got him the right personnel, but the front office never would. Then they went to Jim Boylan, and he was just too old school. Like, for those young players, they just didn't connect. He's a guy that was on Pop's staff, and it just wasn't the right fit for him. But you bring in Billy Donovan, he's respectable. He's been to the playoffs a bunch. He's coached some, you know, Durant, Westbrook, Chris Paul now. He's had a lot of talent through there. I think it was a big hire. I like it a lot.
I do too. We'll see what happens.
Out of all the
it.
Coaches that are out there, he wouldn't have maybe been my first choice, but he definitely would have been my second or third choice. I like it a lot.
And look, you're not one of these teams who might get stuck at the end.
No.
Right? And trying to pick up, you know, the leftovers. Yeah. All right. Last thing before we close out this segment, we'll go back to the question we had talked about a little while ago. Here we go. Which team will win Game 4 tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time? Boston looked to be able to figure out the Heat's zone defense in Game 3. They were able to put the ball in the basket and score some points. Then again, the Heat are 10-2 this postseason so far and have yet to lose back-to-back games.
Rick, you like stats?
I do.
Celtics.
I'm not Billy stats, but I do like stats.
The Celtics have led 75% of the Eastern Conference Finals in minutes.
Oh my God, 75. That seems.
No,
We have dominated, and we have poo-pooed the bed.
The games they've lost, they blew them
themselves. We have poo-pooed the bed in Game 1 and Game 2. I thought we were going to do it in Game 3. Celtics, Game 4.
In addition to the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, we will also have Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals at 8 p.m. tonight. You got a pick? Nah, don't care. You're going to pick the Lightning. You got a pick?
No.
Come on. You got a pick.
Come on. Give me 2 seconds.
Okay. All right. He's going to look up the line. Look, while he's looking up that, look, we got a Stanley Cup Finals on tonight. We got Eastern Conference Finals on tonight. And we got a whole.
Give me the Lightning in a close
one. My God. And we got a whole weekend of football ahead of you. As college football and the SEC returns to the slate. Now, between the football season, all the playoffs going on, look, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action. If you are the kind of guy who likes to bet a little, to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, you could take the playoffs tonight. You could take both games of the playoffs tonight. You could parlay those together, make it something big. So look, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing. Do the only thing. Go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with MyBookie. And look, if you join right now, how about this? MyBookie will double. What's that? Will double your first deposit. Use promo code Knoxville to activate this offer. That's right. Promo code Knoxville to double your cash. It is that easy. It is that easy. Double your cash. You can do that today. Visit mybookie.ag today. Look, Brandon, Chance, you play, you win, you get paid. Now, talking about a little gambling. It's a big football weekend. There's going to be a lot of gambling going on.
It is. Speaking of my bookie, I was pulling up. I'd like to get you guys' thoughts. Maybe we can go over some of these over-unders for the SEC season.
Love it. Okay, so is this season win total or week
one? Yeah, this is season win total, and this is at mybookie.ag if you want to go ahead and get some of those future bets in. You have to go ahead and get it in before Saturday at noon. You have until 11:59 a.m. to get your future bets in for the season, and this is just for the season. Bowl games will not count. Conference championships games will not count. And any opponent changes as well if you're betting on these over-unders, it's not applicable. So any had to be 10 games to count. So the first one, Alabama over under 8.5.
Alabama
over under 8.5.
So that means they're winning 9 or 10.
I want to look at their schedule. I mean, my gut reaction says over. I don't know what their schedule looks like, but I'm going to say over. Missouri win, A&M win.
Look, who are they going to lose to?
Yeah, 8.5 would mean they have to win at least 9 games for the over to be there.
Do they play Georgia?
Yes.
All right, do we
it's
think
funny
that
you ask,
lose?
Alabama's schedule is Missouri first game, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Georgia, and then Tennessee. So those are the first 5 games.
And then they've got
Mississippi State, LSU, Kentucky, Auburn, and Arkansas to end the season.
I'll say yes. Yes, over.
Over 8.5?
Yep.
Ooh. Okay, I think I'm going to say over 2 because I don't see them dropping 2 to LSU and Georgia. And I don't really think that anybody slides, but then again, we have no idea what this season's going to look like. But I'm going to say over.
I want to say under. It's hard to say. Yeah, I know. It's only a 10-game season. I guess we're saying their losses. Georgia may be the only loss of the season, so that would put them at 9-1 in the 10-game season. Maybe they could lose to Kellen Mond and Texas A&M, Mac Jones versus Kellen Mond. I'm going to go under.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to go under 8.5. I said they win 8 games. Okay. I said they go 8-2, so they will be under the 9 benchmark that is set for them. So, yeah, I'm going to go under the 8.5. I really think Georgia can take them. And maybe that probably will change, which you can't change after a futures bet, but that probably will change after seeing how Mac Jones looks that first game.
And the over is the favorite as well, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Most bettors are predicting.
Is it, though?
Yeah,
it's Alabama.
The underdog is the under what I'm taking, but yeah, the over. I mean, it really probably shouldn't be such a favorite is Alabama, but I just tend to think that with this crazy season, man, I can see Georgia and I also could see them losing another one that they're
speaking,
not supposed to.
Speaking of
maybe
them,
to Auburn.
And I know that I'm probably taking you a little bit out of order here, but I am seeing that Georgia has the exact same over-under.
Correct.
8.5. Now, for them, I'm much more likely to take the under, I believe. But should I? I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about it in my head.
Well, you got
theirs is 8.5 too.
Theirs is also 8.5. So Georgia and Alabama have the same over unders.
They have the best over unders in the league. They are the two top teams.
For Georgia, I'll go under. I mean, I think they have to play Alabama.
Right.
Florida. Think they have to play Florida, who I think is probably the best team in the East, in my opinion. They have to play Auburn. That's 3 tough games right there.
And plus, losing 2 out of 3 of those and those being your only 2 losses on the season is still a really good season for Georgia.
Right. Oh, I mean, 8-2. Great, great season in this all-SEC only scheduling.
Yeah. Chance, which other of these games stand out to you?
Georgia, kind of what Brandon said. I mean, when you look at them, you think the Florida game. They also have to play Alabama, as you said, I guess, this year as well.
On the road.
Yeah. Oof. And I definitely think that Florida one, that's the one we're looking at. I would even say maybe Tennessee. I think Tennessee maybe can give them a
scare. I was thinking that too. Maybe Tennessee can give them a game.
Georgia has a tough schedule.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about that game. It's right before Alabama for Georgia. Actually, it's between Auburn
and Alabama. That's tough. That's tough.
That is.
That's tough. So I would definitely go with the under for Georgia as well. And for all the reasons Brandon said, too. You got Alabama. They could be looking forward to that. You got Auburn, who might beat them in the second week. You know, let's not just skate gloss over that.
And I mean, that's a game that is typically played at the end of the year, like second, third week from the end. And now that's completely flipped, and you're playing that second week of the season. It's a big rivalry game.
So I'll definitely go with the under.
Wait. That the Tennessee Georgia game is in Athens this year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other of these teams over unders? Any of them stand out to you?
I would say Tennessee, but we've known what that one is. It's right at five.
What
games.
Is it? Five?
Yeah, it's at five. Ooh. It's kind of where I've been either. Tennessee's gonna be 5-5 or 6-4. That's where I think it is. 7-3
what a good
is
line.
Like a 9-1
that's
season.
So tough. That is so tough. They couldn't have even just made it 5.5 or 4.5. Man, five.
Kentucky also sits at five with Tennessee. Mississippi State, four games.
State at four?
Yeah, and that one's interesting.
Ole Miss is also at four. So they're giving, let's kind of go full circle to our conversation from the beginning of the show. They're giving both Ole Miss and Mississippi State the same under-over or over-under as for both debuting new coaches for these Mississippi schools.
Yeah, Mississippi State starting off with LSU this Saturday. We know LSU has lost a lot, as we said a couple minutes back and a couple segments ago. So that was a toss-up. You don't know what you have with Miles Brennan there, but we know the Pirate, they can score. It's going to be the same philosophy. It's going to be an air raid attack. So I feel like with any good coach and a decent quarterback, you got a chance to win. Kentucky, they could beat Kentucky. So that's one game. Arkansas, I'm taking Mississippi State in that one. That's two games. Vandy makes three. Ole Miss and Missouri are the two that Mississippi
State is
going to
be. I think how great the Egg Bowl is going to be.
Think how great the handicappers are.
I was just looking at this and I was thinking, I didn't give Mississippi State Kentucky, so I had them right at four.
Yeah,
I had it as a push.
That's definitely
with
a pick
that over under.
Oh,
and then Ole Miss.
Kind of a pick 'em too.
I'm going under. No, they play South Carolina. I'd still say under because I think I'd give the. I don't know.
Handicappers
are good, man. They're good.
When is the Egg Bowl?
Second to last week of the season. So November 28th.
Is there a chance that that game basically determines who could go over that four game stretch?
Maybe, but they can only have one win by that time, or two wins by that time. They're for sure.
Oh, we're saying that their fourth might come that last week of the season?
Yeah,
well, for Mississippi State.
For Mississippi State.
Missouri.
Ooh.
Ole Miss plays LSU.
Ooh.
So, looking at Mississippi State, I mean, for sure a win should be Arkansas. The next win should be Vandy. Then after that, Ole Miss is kind of a pick 'em game. Missouri, they should probably win that. That's three games. So, Ole Miss, Kentucky games are really the games to really watch kind of make or break their season.
What's A&M's over under?
A&M. Let me
There's
look at that one.
There's
right
is 7.
7?
That's another one that looks I've looked at that
Look,
schedule.
I feel like I feel like I'm going to go
I'm gonna
under.
Go under.
I'm going to go Ooh. Under on it because I have Tennessee going over 5.
Ooh. Well,
that right there could be one of the difference makers.
You said it's 7?
Yes.
Yeah, 7.
Without even counting the Tennessee game, Vanderbilt's 1, Mississippi State 2, Arkansas 3, South Carolina 4, Ole Miss 5. Even if they beat Tennessee, that's 6. I don't see them beating LSU or Auburn or Florida or Alabama. That's 6. I'm going under.
Yeah, I would say under, too, for Texas A&M. There's a lot of pick-em games there. The one I think that we know for sure would be like the Vanderbilt and Arkansas. Vanderbilt and Arkansas both coming in at – one game. Arkansas 1.5.
You want a bold prediction?
Yep.
SEC will have two winless teams because the SEC.
One in each?
The SEC offices were not smart enough to schedule Vanderbilt to play Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
That is a great thought, legitimately. You could be right. Look, I don't think Arkansas is going to win a game. Here's one last interesting thing that I see.
Vanderbilt's not winning the game.
For Tennessee. The under is the favorite.
Under is the favorite for Tennessee?
Yes.
Under 5?
Yeah. Look, I don't want to be staring at a 4-6.
I'd take
because
the
that to me means we're losing all of our ranked games, including Kentucky, and that sucks. I'm not going to consider that a successful year. I know that we've talked a lot about kind of how do we define success in this 2020 year. That won't be it. I'll tell you that. You got to win a game against a ranked team. You got to.
Even if it's
Kentucky, and you can just sit there at 5-5, I think that would be in the realm of success, depending on what the other losses looked like. But if you don't, I don't know how you define success, but I do know that that ain't it.
Go ahead and lock it in on Vanderbilt not winning a game.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, both. Neither one will win.
All right, here we go. Back here on Blitz. Hanging out with you as we're making our way through the show today. Guys, Christmas vacation was continuing last night.
It's a little too early
already.
Come on.
But here's what I was thinking when I was watching it.
I don't want to
it's
see
a
Christmas
year-round
right
movie.
Now.
It is a I year. Know. There are almost no Christmas movies that are year-round movies, but Christmas Vacation.
It
is.
Shouldn't be.
I think it is. I was watching it last night. I was having a good time. Oh, I was having
it's
a
too
good
early
time.
For that stuff.
Gentlemen, let's see. What else is on the menu for today?
Well, did you see that a game got postponed?
Yes, the Notre Dame game, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Notre Dame will not be playing this weekend.
Ooh, I also...
And is it Wake Forest, Notre Dame Wake? Is that the game?
Yes.
Notre Dame's full of the COVID.
Right now, it seems like...
they have at least 7 players with it.
It seems like all the SEC games are slated to be played this weekend, but obviously that could change at any moment.
Who will be the first SEC school
to
cancel because of COVID? I'm betting on us. I've seen the pictures.
I've seen the pictures.
We got it. We already got
it. I've seen the pictures on the strip. I've seen the lines, these crazy kids. They're wild.
We already been through this mess.
You
think it's not that bad in Tuscaloosa?
I think it probably is.
Yeah, it is. It's just as bad.
Nick Saban's got his guys.
I don't think the football players are going to all the bars and stuff like
let's
that.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, let's really hope not.
Not going to uptown to shoot
it just
they
takes,
leg.
It just to shoot they leg. Never forget. And he had to leave the team.
Oh my God. Yeah, they ain't doing that.
Well, it just takes one.
Yeah.
It just takes that one player to contact Trace and put a whole defensive unit on the sidelines for a week.
Guys, Charlie had brought this story up during If You Haven't Heard Yesterday, but I kind of wanted to explain it a little bit more. So ESPN is planning to move at least 8 of its men's college basketball events to the ESPN Wide World of Sports property at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. So 8 of their tournaments that are going to be happening throughout the year will get moved into what is likely going to be where they played every single NBA playoff game, which is great. If you have that kind of atmosphere already set up, why would you not use it after the NBA? I mean, to me, this seems extremely smart. So ESPN runs 10 non-conference events in November and December, and right now at least 8 of them are expected to take place in Orlando. The Champions Classic, Charleston Classic, Myrtle Beach Invitational, which wasn't that what we were last year?
No.
Well, what was the tournament that we were in last year that was the worst video feed ever?
It was the Emerald Coast Classic.
Emerald Coast Classic. Okay, I knew it was some kind of beach. Then you have the NIT Season Tip-Off, the Wooden Legacy, the Orlando Invitational, the Jimmy V Classic, and the Diamond Head Classic. Now, The Jimmy V Classic is the one that you are going to be interested in because that is the one that Tennessee is playing in.
Where are we going?
The Jimmy V Classic consists of Gonzaga.
Oh, great.
Baylor.
Can we not get rid of them? I feel like we've played Gonzaga 20 times in the past 5 years.
I feel like we have too. We play them a lot. And they're going to be looking for revenge. They won't be happy.
Ah, to hell with them.
Baylor. You worried about Baylor?
No.
Maybe. Isn't Baylor a top like five team?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're
pretty good.
Top 25. Oh, top 245.
I mean, you have to check last year's standings.
Yeah.
Because they won't have them this year. All right, but yes, so I'm pretty sure Baylor's pretty good.
At the end of last year, they were ranked 5. They went 26-4.
Scott Drew, their head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah. They're going to be pretty good. All right, so we got Gonzaga and Baylor. That's not entirely lit. You have Rutgers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we like to see. Hey. And then last but not least, you have Tennessee.
I hope we draw Rutgers first.
I hope we do, too. We'll draw Gonzaga first round. No, we'll probably draw Baylor first.
Who knows?
Great.
No.
Hopefully it's Rutgers.
So anyways, why can't we be in the Diamond Head class? You got Hawaii, North Texas, St. Mary's, Seattle. Seattle?
What are you, scared? Yeah,
Seattle?
The Supersonics are playing. They're bringing them back.
Oh, great. Is Kevin Durant going to be there?
No, he's in Brooklyn.
Oh, bummer. Am I scared? No, but I mean, you know, I don't want to lose to Gonzaga and Baylor.
You got
to
play these tough. You got to play these tough teams. Who do you think are,
Brandon?
We got to play these tough teams.
What does Ric Flair say? To be the best, you got to beat the best.
I don't think that's what he says.
I think he says to be the man, you got to beat the man.
No, whatever, same thing.
To be the man, wrestling guy.
It's the same thing.
Nah.
It's been.
It's a nice tagline.
It's been. It's slightly been changed over the years. Okay, Chance. All right, you're right.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. Yeah,
to be the man,
that's
what
he says.
We're certainly going to be playing.
That's a book by Keith Elliott Greenberg. Maybe that's where he stole it from. Oh, that's the book on Ric Flair. Okay, it just popped up in Google. I was like, that's a book. Cool.
What a great line. Be the man. You got to beat the man.
Published
and right
in 2004.
Now, I'm the man. Woo! That was actually a clip. You remember our Art of the Man segment?
Yeah.
And it had that whole intro music. Yeah. That was a clip from. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, you got a bunch of college basketball tournaments that are going to be moved to the bubble.
So where are we playing?
The bubble.
So we're playing in Orlando.
The bubble.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, the Jimmy V Classic is one of the 8 out of the 10 that is expected to move. So we'll see. We obviously have the events are expected to begin on November 25th, the new start date of the 2020-21 college basketball season. Holy smokes, that is 2 months away. Wow.
Time flies when you're in quarantine.
2 months away, November 25th. Well. And run for the first 2 weeks of the season.
You going to be ready for basketball then, Brandon? You going to be fired up?
Yeah, I think I can be ready then.
Okay.
I'm very much in a football mindset right now.
Do you know where it's only like, or we're a week away, like a week from tomorrow, we'll be in October.
I know.
Crazy.
Where did the year go?
Pandemic.
In my house. Yeah. Man, when you really think about it, like, why? I don't even remember having summer, really. I remember it getting hot, but like,
for the most part,
it was just inside the whole time. So, anyways, let's see if they say anything interesting. They do say here that there's also a potential of crossover games where teams from different events could play against each other outside of their scheduled event or game. Whoa. One intriguing possibility would include Baylor and Gonzaga. Why aren't we listed in there? Two preseason national championship contenders. Hello, Tennessee 2, who agreed in August to face each other in non-conference play this season.
I think that's promising for us that we get Rutgers first.
Both are scheduled to play in the Jimmy V Classic, but not against each other.
No.
Oh no.
Damn it. So here's what I'm reading is that there's no way that Tennessee can play Rutgers because Baylor and Gonzaga are just going to go play each other at some other point down the road. So they can't play first in this tournament.
What it sounds like.
We're also in the Charleston Classic, by the way.
Huh? No, we're not.
Brandon, help me decipher this. Charleston Classic, here are your list of teams. There's Tennessee. Jimmy V Classic, here are your list of teams. There's Tennessee. How do you decipher that? What do you think? Can you check the schedule and see if we're in two?
There's not. I looked at one the other day, and it didn't have any of those.
It didn't have any of what?
The tournaments. Hmm. Listed.
Because, look, it also says in the Charleston Classic, you have Charleston, Florida State, shout-out Chance, Houston, Okie State, Penn State, Seton Hall, Tennessee, VCU.
But in that Emerald Coast Classic, Florida State and VCU were both in that Emerald Coast Classic last year with us, and we played both of them.
Yeah, dude, I don't really know what to make of this right now.
Yeah, I'm just going to wait.
I know that we should know this, like, you know, people are probably listening thinking, hey, these are the guys, like, they should know this. But, look, we don't know. I don't know.
It happens.
Yeah. So we may be
sometimes
in two.
We may
be in two tournaments. We may be playing people from other tournaments. We may not. It's all kind of up in
the
air
right now.
We'll
figure it out, though.
We'll figure it out along the way. Look, at the end of the day, this is going to be some of the final basketball conversations. It'll be very limited for the next couple weeks. I mean, we are switching to a full 100% football mindset. But with that being said,
football school.
We're a freaking football school. All right, everybody, here we go. Back here on the Blitz for the final segment of the show here today. Rick, Brandon, and Chance closing things out for you right now. And, of course, we will finish things off with a little bit of If You Haven't Heard. Anybody got one to start us off today?
You go first.
Well, If You Haven't Heard, today is Bruce Springsteen's birthday. Brandon, what's your favorite Springsteen song? Are you not a Bruce Springsteen fan?
Not really.
Oh.
I mean, I like some of his songs, but just that's
the boss.
It's the voice.
Isn't that what they call him? The boss?
The boss.
Born to Run, I guess.
Was born. Is that Born Free?
Born Free? That's
born
Bon Jovi.
Free. Is that Bon Jovi?
Born in the USA, another good one. People
born
think
in the USA. That's how I feel like he sings.
Yeah. It's not very good.
He's got like
not a very good vocal.
Black boots, tight jeans.
You think he's better? His music is better than his performing of the music. Like you think if you gave his word to someone else,
his brother Rick, much more respect for him.
Rick Springsteen,
yeah, Jesse's girl.
Rick Springfield.
See? That's how much I know about Springsteen. Is it Springfield?
I think it's Rick Springfield, the one that does Jesse's Girl.
Well, sorry. He's much better than Bruce Springsteen.
I mean, I like Bruce Springsteen, okay? He's just not my favorite. I'm not going to go out of my way.
Oh, it is Rick Springfield.
To Springsteen.
Much better, though.
Hey, fair enough.
Takes all the luster away now.
Let me see.
Sorry,
what else is in the...
You said this one when he was Rick Springsteen.
Sorry,
it made the joke better, but it wasn't a joke for me. But it'd been a joke for the audience. I'm still gonna call him Rick Springsteen. I just now stopped calling Terry Wilson Terry Collins.
That was one of my favorites, though. One of my all-time favorites. If you haven't heard, I'll keep this one quick. This is something cool. Brandon and I were talking about this a couple days ago. Although he doesn't necessarily know about it. Doesn't know how he feels about it, maybe, but Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook CEO, basically says that the future of our handheld technology will be in what we wear. He says we are closer than you think to augmented reality and virtual reality glasses that everybody will wear. And basically, you get like an Iron Man type of layout.
No.
In
I
your
don't
glasses.
Need this.
And you never have
Brandon
to use...
Brandon, don't want it.
Imagine this. This is what Mark Zuckerberg said. Imagine this. Instead of all of us sitting here looking at these computers and these screens, they would just appear on our glasses. How about that? He says we're closer than you think. The slab phone will be no more. It will be extinct, Brandon. You got to wear these glasses that'll turn you into Tony Stark.
No thanks.
Gah.
I'm cool with being Tony Stark.
Me too.
I'm cool with being Brandon Orick.
I'd like to be Tony Stark.
I'm cool being Brandon Orick.
Brandon Orick, the party pooper. Yeah. That's what he's cool being with.
Oh, yeah. In other news,
Yeah, I really don't like this narrative that you all have set up.
Join the league.
Uncle Ben's Rice now going to be called Ben's Original. New packaging, too.
I saw that.
What?
Ben's Rice.
I never heard.
You know the orange bags of rice, you just tear them and put them in the microwave for 90 seconds.
It's pretty racist. I'll just put a black man, old black man on the box. they finally, 2020 came around, they wanted to change it.
2020 came around, they said, we shouldn't have done that in the first place.
May not be doing this in the first place.
All right, fair enough.
So Uncle Ben has good a new package. Quickly before the day.
Original Ben.
Oh, hold on. If you haven't heard, Jeremy Pruitt on when Tennessee needs to know if Cade Mays is available for the opener against South Carolina. Quote, I guess before we get on the plane, he's been working, preparing to play this week, and we have a plan either way, I would say, before we get on the plane.
He's got a point. Today, National Snack Stick Day. You like snack sticks?
Sure.
It's National Energize Day.
Snack Sticks.
And the Energizer Bunny.
National Teal Talk Day. National Checkers Day and Dogs in Politics, whatever that is. The National Great American Pot Pie Day. I love pot pie.
Yeah.
Also, Restless Legs Awareness Day.
That's me.
And it's
also
National Celebrate Bisexuality Day. So shout out to our LGBTQ+ listeners.
There you go. Hey, we'll see you back tomorrow. Breaking down a little Tennessee action. It's game week right here on the Blitz.